Taking our Bibles out, please, and let's open them up to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, keeping your soul quiet is what we're looking at tonight. And tonight we're going to finish our series, I guess, on our noisy souls, the stress, the anxiety that we have in our lives, and many times it's self-inflicted, because as we've seen, tracing it back, it all goes back to some level of unbelief on our part, unbelief in God, or attributes of God, and then we began building from that, and looking at different attributes of God, and hopefully applying them to our lives, so we can see where unbelief in this particular area, yes, that would cause stress or anxiety, noise in my soul. And, of course, to begin to change that, it all starts with confession. We have to be at that point where we're willing to admit, yes, God, I have unbelief in this area. And then begin to grow from there. But then if you've been doing that all along during these weeks, how do we keep our soul quiet? Because life is going to continue to happen to everyone, the good, the bad, and the ugly. How do we keep our soul quiet and at peace, even though we may be in the midst of a storm? Well, number one, it happens by maintaining a quiet requires a savior. I'm sorry. Maintaining a quiet soul requires a savior. Now, this may seem basic to all of you here, but then maybe not. And certainly those that may be joining us through our live streaming, this is a very important truth that we have to grasp a hold of. Jesus, folks, delights in saving us. How many of you would agree with that? Say amen. If you're saved, you have to say amen to that. He is merciful. We looked at that. The God of mercy. And he wants to rescue us. Certainly from our sin. He is loving. We looked at that. And so our best interests are in his mind. He's faithful. He's all powerful. He not only has all wisdom, he is all wisdom. Where we have to think about a decision, God doesn't have to. Because he has the wisdom. He already has all that knowledge to him. All of that, all of those attributes, folks, are directed right at you. Now, the heading here is maintaining a quiet soul requires a savior. You would say, well, I'm already saved. Well, that's true. But how many times since we've been saved that we've left the savior and gone our own way? And no, I know what the Bible says, but I have a better way. I don't need the Savior of that Bible. I'm going to make a decision. I know it runs contrary to what God's Word said, but it makes sense to me. It feels right to me. It will make me happy. And we leave the Savior. Jesus delights in saving us continually. Let's look in our passage, Matthew chapter 11. And verse 28, this is the verse we started with. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me give you just some conclusions, maybe from the whole series even. And number one is attempts by us to solve life's problems apart from a relationship with Christ will fail. Attempts, not just by us, attempts by any human to solve problems in their life apart from a relationship with Christ, they're going to fail. We need Christ as the foundation. And then secondly, attempts to solve life's problems apart from him is us making another savior. And we spent a little bit of time talking about that as far as the whole idolatry aspect. Us making God in our own image. We know the God of the Bible, or we know some of him, parts of him, and we don't like some of that. We don't like what he says. So we create a God instead that is loving according to our definition, not the way God's love is revealed to us in the Bible, but the God of love in much of the world's mind today is a God that wouldn't send anyone to hell, therefore there must not be a hell. They have created a God in their own image, not in the image of the God of the Bible. Some people will have a God created in their image in that God would want me to be happy. That's his number one focus, is for me to be happy. If he loves me, he wants me to be happy. And so I can make this decision because it makes me happy. They have created a God in their own image, broken one of the Ten Commandments. Folks, we do that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness thereof. God, a God of our own image. When we leave God's word and we justify actions that are contrary to God's word, we've created another savior. And if we attempt to solve life's problems apart from him, but going another direction, we're making another savior. It's a competing God to the Bible. This passage that we just read, it's a declaration of Christ. He wants to continue saving us. Once we got saved, yes, the penalty of our sin was paid for, but it's not a one and done kind of thing. He wants to continue saving us from ourselves, if anything. He wants to be our Savior. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's not just come unto me, get saved, and then I'm done. The word come is in the active tense. So in other words, it's keep coming to me so I can keep giving you rest, so I can keep taking your burdens. He wants to continue to be our Savior. Also, number two, maintaining a quiet soul requires saturation. Now, this is simply the discipline of meditation. Not the sit in a lotus position and hum and drain your mind of all thoughts. Not that kind of meditation with candles and weird music playing in the background. Look at this passage with me. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That is an important part of that passage, is right there at the end. Continues in his word. Continueth. Folks, if we don't meditate, we forget. I was on the phone just the other night with my sister. And she has a youngster in the house, and on the phone, while just as a phone call started, she needed him to go do something, and so she told him three things to do. I need you to go do this, and then I want you to do this, and then you have to do that. And I heard, "Okay, Mom." She says, "Remember, there's three things." Okay, and I said, "Does that really work?" She said, "Well, he'll probably get one of them right." Why is that? He only heard it one time. Now, before the advent of iPads, my wife would give me a list of things, a verbal list of things that I need to get from the store. And don't you know, when I leave the house, all the way to the store, I'm rehearsing that list. Boom, 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 boom. 4, we get to 5, maybe that's pushing it, okay? And I'm just going through that list, and I'm putting them in kind of a rhythmical pattern so I can remember them, you know, kind of like a musical tone to them. And it doesn't fail. Sometimes I walk into Walmart, and those metal detectors, they're like, it clears my brain of everything. And I'm like, what am I here for? And those are the times when I forget my cell phone, so I can't call my wife and say, what did you send me here for? But that happens when we don't continue in something, okay? Now, we know that. We see it in our practical life. But the same thing also holds true for God's Word. We have to continue in God's Word. Otherwise, as that verse should suggest, we are a forgetful hearer, and forgetful hearers are not doers of the work because they didn't continue in His Word. That's meditation, continuing in His Word. Now, this is going to require a couple of things from us if we're going to do this. This requires concentration, okay? In that passage there, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That word looketh means to peer intently into God's Word. Have you ever seen someone that has lost their contact? Let's say I wore contacts. I don't, because the idea of jamming my finger in my eye every day just does not appeal to me. Okay, some people are okay with it. I don't think I can hack it. But if I lost my contact up here, it pops out, and I say, oh, I lost my contact. Let me look for it. And I'm kind of walking around, scanning the carpet, looking for it, and I'm not really seeing it. You would say, no, Pastor, let me help you. And you would come up here, and I've seen people do this. They're down on their hands and knees, and they're looking at a square inch of the carpet at a time, scanning it in like this perfect grid pattern, peering intently, looking for that content or contact. That's the word we have here in this verse, looketh into God's Word. We peer intently. We're not taking a scan of it. We're looking at every square inch. We're looking at every word, every syllable, every punctuation mark. We're peering intently into it. At my house, I have a study area in my home, and it's in one of our spare bedrooms. I have this little, I don't know what they're like, a secretary's desk. I don't know. There's this lid that opens back towards you, and that becomes the desk. And inside there's a couple of slots and a couple of little drawers, okay? When you open that up, here's what you'll find in there. You'll find a Bible, you'll find my journal, and you'll find some pens. And of course, on top, there's my Keurig coffee maker. They go hand in hand, okay? And that's where I spend my time in the mornings when I'm having my time in God's Word. Now, why do I do it there instead of, like, say, down on the couch? Well, I go down to the living room and I'm sitting on the couch, and there's stuff everywhere. There's all these things to take my mind off of what I'm trying to peer intently into. There's the TV saying, don't you want to catch the morning news? You know, there's the newspaper. There's the dog toy left there from the night before. And, oh, don't you want to go play with your puppy this morning? All of these distractions from me concentrating. That's why there's very little there in that study area that I have. Because if there was more, it would be hard to focus. I like this quote I came across. Meditation is not a drive-by devotional. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with devotional books. In fact, I use one in the mornings as a springboard, a starting place. But to read a Daily Bread, Days of Praise, or some other little page and a half anecdote about a passage of Scripture and then pray through our prayer list, we have not peered into God's Word. We have not continued therein. We forget what we see because we haven't continued, and so we never become a doer of the Word that we've looked at because we're not continuing in it. Remember, the goal when we open God's Word is to become Christ-like, to be doers of the work. And that is going to require concentration on our part when we peer into God's Word. In fact, when I'm there in the mornings, most of the time I don't even take my cell phone. Because, you know, for some reason, I have people that email me during the middle of the night, or will send me a text message or something. And on my phone, there's a little red light that just blinks, letting me know that I have an unanswered email. And if I'm if that's sitting there next to my Bible, it's going to look like a strobe beacon on the top of a radio tower. Okay, it's going to be that obvious. It's going to destroy my focus and my concentration. So we've got to limit those distractions. Meditation also requires continuation. Verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein." I once talked with an evangelist one time. I was asking him, "So what are you doing for your devotions this year? Are you going to read through the Bible in a year?" He said, "No, I'm reading through the New Testament. And I've been at it for about 3 months, and I'm about halfway through Matthew." I said, "Oh, buddy, you got a long way to go." And he said, "Well, here's what I'm doing. I'm reading a chapter a day, but I'm reading it 5, 6, 7 times." He's continuing in it. Folks, we don't have to read a chapter today and then do another one tomorrow and another one the next day and another one the next day. Reading through our Bible in a year is good. That's a good goal. But keep in mind, it doesn't hurt to do something extra, like park it on a chapter or a few verses for a few days and try to wring everything out of it that you can. That's continuing therein. That's peering intently so that we won't be a forgetful hearer. How long do we continue? That's a good question. Well, it says to be not a forgetful hearer. So how long do we continue? Well, we continue until I can't forget it. Has anyone ever asked you a question, a spiritual question, and you know it? It's not a guess. You know the answer from the Bible. You just can't remember where it was. So what do you say? "Well, the Bible says..." Because you really don't know where to take them, a chapter or verse or something like that. And other times, we're not even that attuned to it. We know the Bible says something about a particular matter, but we just can't remember what. Or we don't even think about it because we have forgotten it because we didn't continue in it long enough for us to remember it. And we continue in it, secondly, until we are a doer of that truth. Talking with another evangelist one time, he told me he was at a church and preached a message this one night. And after the service, a lady came up to him and said, "You preached that message 3 years ago when you were here." And he just kindly looked at her and said, "Well, ma'am, are you doing it yet?" He said, "Ma'am, if you would start doing it, I could stop preaching it." But there's truth there for us. Why go on and learn more truth if we haven't started doing what we already know to do? So we need to park it there until we don't forget it and we become a doer of that work. A medical student, let's say they fail a class while they're in med school. They don't move on until they pass. And aren't you glad for that? What would be the point of moving them on if they haven't mastered the art of giving a shot? Okay, let's say they in their class, they just, for some reason, they always went all the way through and stuck it in the bone. Ah, that's not good. We don't want them moving ahead until they get that one truth and they are a doer of that one truth. 1 Timothy 4:15 says for us to meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate on God's word to the point that we're not a forgetful hearer, we're a doer of the work, and everyone else around us knows because they can see that we're changing and that there's things taking place in our life. In other words, keep doing it until others can see that change. Maintaining a quiet soul also requires structure. Now, those of you that are OCD, you're going to like this part. Those of you that are just kind of free spirits and flit from one thing to another in life, no plan, no organization, I can't stand that. But some people get along well with that. 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, exercise yourself unto godliness. Now, we all know, we can imagine, exercise requires discipline, doesn't it? Okay, I'm going to ask a couple of questions here. Feel free to not raise your hand. How many of you started this year with a New Year's resolution to either lose weight or to begin to exercise? Okay, how many of you are still doing that? How many people fall off by this time of the year? When I was here before as a youth pastor, I had a membership for a couple of years at the Y. And I remember right after the first of the year, man, that place was packed in the morning until about February. and then it was trickling off. And I was just thinking, all of those people that paid for a membership, and they're not even here to use it now. It requires structure. Godliness is not natural. That's why. That's why we have to approach this in an OCD manner with structure, discipline, a plan, because godliness is not natural. Folks, our bodies are hardwired, they're programmed for ungodliness. We are programmed for wickedness. That's why if you leave a child unattended, they're going to be very evil in their behavior. That's why you don't have to teach a child how to hit their sibling. You don't have to teach a child how to have a temper tantrum in the store. They already know that. We as adults are still hardwired that same way. We're programmed for ungodliness. That's what's natural. We don't stumble into godliness. All right? We don't stumble into godliness. We have to intentionally do something about it. Because we're hardwired for ungodliness, we're not going to stumble into godliness. We have to do something on purpose to be godly. God tells us what to do about it. Meditate is the way to have our plan into godliness. And to do that, we have to intentionally do something else that's not natural. It's not natural for us to discipline ourselves. Let me give you an example. If I was going to learn a new sport, let's say tennis. I'm going to learn how to play tennis. I'm going to have to learn some new disciplines as well. I'm going to, first of all, what am I going to have to do? I'm probably going to have to schedule a time to learn it. I'm going to have to learn about stretching, warming up to play tennis so that I don't throw a muscle out of my shoulder or my elbow or something like that. I'm going to have to learn how to do the sport. I'm going to have to learn how the scoring works. I'm going to have to learn about forehands and backhands and serves and how to counteract a ball coming at me that has a spin on it or a lob. I'm going to have to learn all those things. That's going to take time. And if I have a coach to help me, there's going to be these scheduled times, and I'm going to have to learn all of these new things. And the purpose for doing all of that is to train myself for the purpose of playing tennis or for the purpose of being physically fit. That's the purpose for it. Reading God's word, it's like stretching. It doesn't take much effort, but it's merely a warm-up. Studying God's word, now that's the real exercise there. Just like a sport, at first, it's hard. You might not be able to do a lot. So here's some hints. First of all, establish a regular time. That's the scheduling. Okay, some of these are going to seem so basic. I've heard these 1,000 times. Just like the evangelist asked that lady, are you doing this yet? What is your scheduled time to do this? Some of us, we have scheduled times for extracurricular activities, scheduled times for meetings outside of work and outside of church. We have regular things we do monthly or weekly. Do you have a scheduled time for God's word? Secondly, get alone. That's that minimizing the distraction thing. For right now, for me, to have my morning time with God with my puppy on my lap, that's not going to work. Now, 4 months ago, I could have done that with our 12-year-old dog because she just laid there, okay? But the puppy, no, that's not working. Get alone. It is so helpful. And then third, use a notebook. Use a notebook. Write down what you're learning. Write down questions. A word you don't understand, perhaps, a thought, the context, ask people, pray over it. Proverbs 10:14 says this, wise men lay up knowledge. Now, what are the elements of a quiet time? First of all, you're going to have Bible reading. Follow a plan. If it's through the Bible in a year, great. If it's just a chapter a day, great. Some of the New Testament, one of the Proverbs, and whatever your plan is, that's fine, but you must follow a plan. And then do this, pray before you read. Write down your thoughts in your notebook. Write down your thoughts about a verse, about a promise that you saw in God's word. Write down your thoughts about a sin that you need to confess. And then secondly, an acronym, MAP, M-A-P. Now, that stands for this. Memorize the passage. Now, if you're reading a chapter a day, you're going to memorize a chapter a day. You are totally awesome in the memory department. Memorize. Work constantly at memorizing a passage. And then A stands for analyze. Okay, you're going to analyze that passage. In other words, you're going to be asking, what is this verse or these few verses? What are they saying? Like that passage we looked at in James. James 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a doer of the work, and a hearer, but not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, looketh pure intently, and continues therein, they stay there, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And just like we did with that verse there, I did it prior to coming in here tonight. so that we could share this, these truths. But that wouldn't have come from a drive-by reading, would it? And analyzing what the passage is saying, what is the context of the passage, what do certain words mean, like looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein. What do those words mean? What does it teach about God? Maybe it's teaching us something about God. What does it say I should do? What is it saying I shouldn't do? And just looking into that passage, analyzing it for why God put it in the Bible in the first place. And then secondly, how am I going to do this verse when I leave my home and go to work later on? Or go about my errands for the day. So that's the A. And then P, personalize. When I've done the first two things, when I have done those first two things, and I look at, now, when have I failed this thing that I just read about? This thing that I was supposed to do. When have I failed in that area? I'm personalizing it. I'm not just reading about a truth in God's Word. I'm making it personal to me. What were the circumstances around that time that I failed? I remember that now. Yeah. I've shared with you some things before, like my drive to Springfield and thoughts in my head and the whole forgiveness thing. And think about those moments when you failed and what the circumstances were around it. And then you're thinking, okay, how should I have responded in that moment when that person said something to me that was unkind, it was rude, it was inappropriate, and they shouldn't have said it? How should I have responded to that person? And then, because I'm still personalizing, what will my game plan be the next time it happens? Some, and maybe you're this way. Some people can't think very quick on their feet. Someone says something to you or they ask you a question, and then 20 minutes after they're gone, you're thinking, oh man, why didn't I say that? That was so much better than what I did say. And you think of it too late. It's never too late to become a doer of the work, to become Christ-like. And this is one of the ways that we do this, when we're reading God's Word and we personalize it, make it about us. Not spending our time thinking about someone else that, oh yeah, yeah, and they said this and this was wrong and they violated and they need to ask forgiveness for that and they should have said this. Don't do that. Personalize it. Because that time we're spending there with God is all about us becoming more godly. And then third aspect is prayer. As part of our time alone with God. And here's another acronym or acrostic for you. P, for the word pray. P stands for praise. Start out praising God. Praising God for everything you can think of that God has done that's good. And then we must go to a time of repentance. That's the R. Repent. If we've analyzed Scripture like we should have previous to this, there may be some things that we need to repent, confess, forsake, seek God's forgiveness. And then secondly, that's the A, or thirdly, ask. This is where we then share our burdens with God. Now, why would you repent before you blurt out your Christmas list to God? Because God said in His Word, if we hide iniquity in our heart, He doesn't hear us. If we have unforgiveness towards other people, He doesn't forgive us. So we still have iniquity in our heart, and He doesn't hear us. So the repentance part is so important. And then fourthly, that's the letter Y, yield. Humble ourselves, give up to God what you have been holding on to in your life. Sometimes that's hard. And then let me give you some practical suggestions as well. Get an accountability partner. We need an accountability partner. In fact, there's a man in this church, Joe Leonard, who has become a thorn in my flesh on this whole memorizing scripture thing. He will not let me up on that. He is always on me about that, and I love him for it. Because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now with the number of verses I've memorized since we started doing that. Get an accountability partner. And remember, folks, discipline is so important. We must have a routine. In the morning, we have a time with God. In the evening, you say, well, it's tough for me to get up in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I have a hard time getting up in the morning. Okay, so in the evening, we go to bed early enough so we can have a morning time. How about that? One thing that is I've found true, and maybe it's because I'm 47 now and I'm so smart, I finally figured it out. When I stay up late and I get up at 5 in the morning, I'm more tired than when I went to bed earlier and got up at 5. Isn't it funny how it works that way? And when I stay up late, I don't want to get up at 5, but I push it to 6. Okay, if I take a quick shower or get up at 6:30 and out of the house by 7, I can do that. That only happens when I stay up late. So go to bed early enough so you can have a morning time. Morning time needs to be that important that you'd be willing to go to bed earlier so that you would have a morning time. Weekends come. Don't veg on the couch. That's a great time to catch up on your peering into and studying. And then, of course, ministry is also important. One last thought. Our stability, it lies in our obedience to what God says. So don't just be a hearer of the word. A doer of the word is obedient. A doer of the word is on their way to godliness. All right, we'll stop there for tonight.